But you know, that's crazy. I do have a magical sleigh. It's unbelievable. 607, David Carnes along with Tara V. Hey, thanks for hanging out with us on this Thanksgiving Eve. I hope you're ready for a big, big holiday tomorrow. This hour of Your Live sponsored by my wonderful friends out at InfoSystems Technology. InfoSystems.biz is the website. And basically, if you have a company, a nonprofit, educational facility, what have you, and it has a computer in the building, then you have got to get on board with InfoSystems and see what they can do for you in terms of IT work for your company, as well as telephone system setup and making it all work seamlessly so that you can focus on what you like to focus on. That's building your business or reaching out and helping folks, whatever you like to do. One reason I like InfoSystems so much is every Wednesday they dedicate this hour and sponsor this hour and basically give it to local nonprofits to promote what they're doing. Also, folks that are doing good stuff in the community. And nobody fits that bill more than Partnership for Families, Children, and Adults, also known just in this area as Partnership. And God bless them for doing that, because it gets very tiring saying all of that a million times. In studio with us is Bo Walker. He is the clinical director of Partnership. And Bo, glad you're here.
Well, thanks for having me.
Big plans for Thanksgiving?
Just to relax, spend time with the grandkids, and just enjoy being off.
Grandkids. Now, I'm in my 40s. My oldest daughter's 14, so I'm not there yet. Is it everything that I hear that it is? Is it the most awesome thing in the world?
Even more. It's indescribable. I learned that you hear people say that it's something special, but you don't really appreciate it until you actually become a grandparent. So we've been blessed with two wonderful grandkids, and that's my unbiased opinion.
is the magical part of it hey, you get to see another generation coming forward and brand new life coming into the world, or is it that you get to play with them and give them back to mom and dad after 10 minutes?
A little bit of both.
Okay.
The family legacy, but when you get tired, you can send them back home.
Absolutely.
Full of sweets and bouncing off the walls.
And that's their problem. That's their problem. Well, Bo, I know Partnership is always, especially this time of the year, just as busy as they've ever been. Partnership covers so many things in literally partnering with families, children, adults. What are some of the specific things? Let's start broad with Partnership and then get more into the clinical counseling aspect of what you specialize in. But Partnership in general, heading into the holidays, what are some things that are going on there?
Well, the main thing is that we have 18 different programs and services, and we cover a pretty large region. And the focus, starting right before Thanksgiving and through January, is just providing a lot of help for people that otherwise wouldn't have that assistance. So all of the programs adopt families. They identify families with special needs, and we spend a lot of time getting their needs met. Throughout the year, we have access to the Neediest Cases Fund, and that really helps to enhance what we can do around the holidays, because a lot of people don't have just the basics. It's not that they're looking for toys and goodies. Some of them are looking for just basic survival needs. So we're not only able to meet those day-to-day needs, but we can make their holiday special.
I know we just are coming out of Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and that's still a big issue, especially around the holidays. A lot of people don't know this, but domestic violence skyrockets and spikes during the holidays. Is that something, and I know this is getting into not your
well,
area of expertise,
you know, that's,
but
we actually deal with that through the counseling center. We have a specialized program that deals with domestic violence. We have a sexual assault center. That's one good thing about the partnership. It's easier to say what we don't do than what we do. But the problem with the holidays is that you have a lot of the stress that goes along with the holidays. You have mixed with that alcohol, drugs, and other things that for people that have a propensity for domestic violence or poor impulse control, it just gets worse if you mix it with the stress of the holidays and with alcohol or drugs.
Talking with Bo Walker, the clinical director of Partnership here in Chattanooga, and especially this year with, and maybe the past couple of years, but this year it's kind of just a whole perfect storm of things coming together where we're looking at higher than normal unemployment. We're looking at a lot of stress on moms and dads who may be unemployed, but they still want to provide for their kids. They tie in responsibility, maturity, and being a real man or a real woman with being able to provide a good Christmas for their kids. And if they're not able to do that, then a lot of times, like you mentioned, poor impulse control, that can lead to a lot of hairy situations. You guys help folks and families on a lot of different fronts there. First of all, with providing needs for families that are in need, but again, with that counseling aspect as well.
And that's really good because we are very affordable and accessible. Prior to coming to the partnership, I was in private practice, and one of the things that led to me deciding to come was that I could help more people because of the number of programs that we have. All but three of our programs are have no fees connected for the recipients. The downside of that is we're heavily reliant on government funding, United Way, and other sources of funding, but we're very accessible because most of our services don't have a fee involved for the recipients of those services.
And I would imagine that because of that, also the doors are just flooded on a pretty constant basis. How do you pick and choose? I mean, how do you determine who will be able to come in, who won't be able to come in and take advantage?
It's not easy, but fortunately, we have a lot of volunteers. We have a lot of people that donate funds and other resources. And unfortunately, sometimes we encounter people that we can't help, either because of the program just not being able to meet their needs. But most often, the problem that we encounter is that the funding sources never really cover the actual cost of providing services. So if it wasn't for the generosity of our community, many donors that contribute money and other resources for resources like the Neediest Cases Fund, the help that we get from United Way and the partnership that we have with other resources in the community, it would be very difficult. But there, the need has quadrupled in the past year, and you know, we just fortunately have a lot of support to help meet those needs.
All right, Bo Walker, Clinical Director of Partnerships Counseling Center, is our guest this hour on Your Live. Thank you so much to InfoSystems Technology for sponsoring this hour of Your Live with the partnership. We'll take a quick break. More with Bo Walker when we continue News Talk 95.3 WPLZ. It's 6:19. The show is You're Live. We're getting our groove on. Absolutely. I love that music. Hey, we have got a great guest in studio. His name is Bo Walker. He's the clinical director of Partnerships Counseling Center. And boy, are they ever busy this time of the year. We have lots of things going on. Big thank you. Hey, we've got Mindy and how she is with InfoSystems Technology. Mindy, love you guys. InfoSystems as a business totally gets it in terms of being part of the community.
Yes.
And this hour, every week, you guys are so good and faithful about sponsoring this hour and donating it to great folks like the partnership who are doing some amazing work in the community.
Yes. Well, we really appreciate what these organizations are doing. And, Clay Hales and the rest of the team at InfoSystems, fortunately, we're in a position that we can donate this hour to those nonprofits. And I'm glad to work for a company that wants to do that, really wants to spend the hour highlighting those in the community that are serving others.
And if you want to support a business that supports the local community, then and one that you can trust to do an A-plus first-rate job with all of your IT needs, then certainly InfoSystems, you need to give them a call and check them out. Go to infosystems.biz for all of the information on the services that they provide. Bo, let's bring you back in. Bo Walker, again, the Clinical Director of Partnerships Counseling Center. And any questions, by the way, 702-9111. We're talking primarily about depression going into the holidays, and this is a big, big issue, Bo, I know. Let's talk a little bit about it. You said there's a specific name going into just the colder months, the holiday season. Talk a little about that.
Well, it's a seasonal affective disorder. That's a specific disorder that some people experience that's related to the environment, the amount of light in the environment during the winter months. And people that are susceptible to depression are more likely to experience that. I think it's very important for people to take advantage of opportunities to get a good assessment of what's going on with them and not overgeneralize, because depression in general is so common, particularly reactions to stress, just day-to-day stress around the holidays that escalates, and so some people are more likely to be depressed. But if you have seasonal affective disorder, it might be possible that you would just attribute it to the holidays and assume that it's just from the stress of the holidays.
Now, Bo, you were talking about seasonal affective disorder and light being an issue with that. Is that, as soon as you said that, I imagined the northern latitudes where there's not a lot of sunlight at all during this time of the year and where people basically have cabin fever. Is that the same kind of thing that we're talking about?
Well, that's a similar reaction to the body, but it affects the chemical balance in our bodies. And when there's during the winter months, when the days are shorter and the access to light is reduced, then people with seasonal affective disorders are more likely to experience those symptoms of depression. And you have to determine on a case-by-case basis if that's the issue or if that person has both general depression or clinical depression or seasonal affective disorder.
Because you were talking about, especially with the lack of light, there is a treatment available that works in some cases, doesn't work in others, but specifically a kind of light treatment?
Well, it's a light similar to a fluorescent light that replaces the light that's missing. And for people with seasonal affective disorder, some people have responded very well to that form of treatment. With any type of intervention, you know, it's not a one-size-fits-all. You have to look at each case individually and determine what's in the best interest of that person based on their circumstances.
Talking with Bo Walker, Clinical Director of Partnerships Counseling Center. And real quick, let's bring Tim on. Tim, we'll get your question or comment, and then we'll take a break and come back on the other side to address that. Where are you calling from, Tim?
Chattanooga.
Chattanooga, wonderful. And what's your question or comment tonight?
Well, I have a friend who's had a bad run of luck lately, and he takes medication for ADD. He's recently been diagnosed with cancer. He's had a leg amputated, the other leg's broken, and his kids are nowhere to be around. And I'm wondering, is there anything besides his medication that I could do to kind of keep him going?
That's a great question. And Tim, is that depression, or is that just a natural response to bad things happening? I mean, what's the difference? I'm sorry. Tim, can you hang on 1 second? And Bo, if you'll hang on, we have to take a very quick break. This is a short one, so hang on, and we'll come right back. We'll answer Tim's questions, talk about that. Take your questions at 702-9111. Talking with Bo Walker, Clinical Director of Partnerships Counseling Center on News Talk 95.3. You're live on WPLZ. Six 6:29, the show is Your Live. I'm David Carnes. along with Bo Walker, Clinical Director of Partnerships Counseling Center. And on the phone we have Tim. He is our guest calling in right now. And Tim out of Chattanooga was outlining, Bo, some issues that a friend of his is going through, especially going into the holidays. And Tim, just, you know, I'll let you jump in and correct me where I'm wrong in summarizing this, but basically just a lot of issues going on in your friend's life that would naturally bring somebody, I think, to some level of depression, including cancer, ADD, and a lot of other things. And so, Bo, let's turn it over to you. And we were saying during the break, you know, depression is probably going to be a fairly natural reaction if you have a lot of things culminating this time of the year in your life.
Yeah. Well, with what's being described, either one of those alone, depression would be a fairly normal reaction or natural reaction. I try to avoid normal, but that would be a fairly natural reaction. But all of those together just exacerbates that. And it's important to not minimize that and say, well, you know, you would expect that. And it's very frustrating sometimes for family and friends to know exactly what to do. And if you're not a trained counselor, sometimes the best thing to do is just to be there and to be yourself, because there's not really anything that you can do if you're not trained to know how to intervene with that. So sometimes you'll feel a little helpless as far as knowing what to do, because you want that person to overcome whatever the symptoms are. But if you look at the attention deficit disorder, sometimes people, especially adults with ADD, it's not unusual for them to experience some symptoms of depression because of the difficulties that they have just coping with certain things, with the attention span, and sometimes that creates a certain amount of anxiety and depression, just dealing with making those adjustments and adapting with day-to-day living.
And real quick, let me jump in here and bring Tim in for just a second. Tim, your friend that I believe also you said either has lost a leg or he's about to have it amputated, is that?
Actually, he has one leg amputated and the other one is broken and they won't work on it. He had surgery done on it about a year ago and the plate and the screws are coming apart. But the surgeons won't open his leg up because he's stage 4 cancer, and it's one of those quality of life issues.
Oh, my heavens.
And now he's also looking at having his teeth pulled because of where his cancer is. He's going to lose his jaw if he doesn't go ahead and have oral surgery on top of all that.
So what is his general outlook? What kind of things is he saying? And one thing I'd like to ask just while the counselor is here, is there any sign, any suicidal tendencies at all, or is that something that you're not concerned about specifically? It's just...
No, he hasn't. He's a fighter. He's a highly intelligent man. That's, you know, when you first talk to him, you wouldn't know it, but I know him fairly well, and he could have a doctorate in science and mathematics if he had had the time to finish up his education. But things happened that he had to drop out of college and not finish it.
And as his friend, I guess it's pretty frustrating for you because, I mean, you hear what Bo is saying, and that's very true. A lot of times there are so many things we want to do, but very little real world that can be done. I mean, so what do you tell somebody
well,
like
sometimes
Tim?
Sometimes you just have to be there and realize that just your presence, your love, your support really is all that you can do. Because if you have some of the problems that you've identified, he's already had an amputation, there's going to be a certain amount of depression and grief related to the loss of that limb. There would be anticipatory grief and depression related to the cancer and the fear of losing another limb. So mixed in with the depression that would be a natural reaction to those circumstances, some of what you're experiencing is grief, and one of the symptoms of grief is depression. So you have all those things mixed together where he's grieving the loss of the limb, the loss of his capacity to be healthy, the loss of his ability to do things that he normally would do. So some of that depression could be symptomatic of grief along with the clinical depression that you would expect one to experience in that type of a circumstance.
And with grief in general, is it important to, I mean, there's no, hey, let me make you feel better, as much as, hey, let me go through this with you kind
right.
of a thing, right?
To be there, because with grief and with depression, there's nothing you can do to rush that process. It's a developmental process. It takes different amounts of time for different people. It ebbs and flows. You can't just will your way out of it, even if he's on medication. When you first start taking medication, it could take 2 or 3 weeks for the medication to become effective. But even some of the medication, especially if he's on multiple medications, some of that could have a depressive reaction, or there could be some side effects from the medication. So he just has a multitude of things going on where depression would be fairly common. And with the number of things that have been identified, the best thing that a friend can do is to just be physically present, to be supportive, and to not feel like you got to fix it, because there's nothing that you can do to fix it. There's nothing that individual can do. Sometimes friends and families with good intentions tell people, well, that's normal, just snap out of it.
Yeah.
Well, it might be natural, but you can't just snap out of it.
Yeah.
No, we don't try to do that, but yeah. I do drive him to his doctor's appointment.
Yeah.
I think that's huge.
Make sure he gets good food and he's eating well. But you mentioned something about light therapy. He does have a tanning bed in his bedroom. You think it might help him to be able to use that tool a little bit?
Well, I don't know if that would necessarily help with the depression and with the things that you've identified. You have to be extra careful with an object like a tanning bed, because it's possible to be in there for too long, and the light from the tanning bed would not be like what would be typically used with a seasonal affective disorder. But with the things that you've identified, I would just caution you to be extremely careful with the use of the tanning bed. But if you're there for him, to take him to appointments, to just be there to listen, to support, sometimes just being there, not saying anything. You know, sometimes people don't realize how powerful your presence can be. When you feel like you don't know what to say, then that's usually an indication that you don't really need to say anything.
And you know, Bo, I can tell that Tim still has that a little bit of, because I have it too, Tim, and I kind of get this, that, okay, that's cool, but I still want to fix it.
Yeah, and that's natural. That's a normal human reaction that only reflects the love that you have for that person. And the more you care about that person, the more you want to help them. But the reality is that there's nothing that you can do beyond what you've already done, or you would be doing it already.
And Tim, real quick, do you know what the just prognosis, what doctors are saying about your friend in terms of his prognosis?
He's stage 4, and they're kind of biting their lip, you know. They're not really, coming out with it, but my wife had cancer. I lost her 6 years ago.
Oh, so. Bless your heart. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if you're a praying man. I'm putting, and I don't know if you're, but could you, what's your friend's first name, if you don't mind?
His name is Bill.
Bill, all right. He's going on my prayer list, brother. Yeah. All right. Hey, Tim, I appreciate you calling in and sharing that. And, again, I think you're doing a great thing, and I think Bo backed that up also. Mm-hmm. Just the way that you're there, the way that you're driving him around, the way that you're being a friend, I think that's phenomenal.
Yeah.
And God bless you, sir.
All right. Y'all have a good day.
All right, you all too. Right. Thank you, Tim. Yeah. And, boy, I tell you what, going into the holiday season, that's an absolute big one, depression. Let's talk a little bit, Bo, about clinical depression versus real-world, realistic depression that with situations like Tim's friend, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there's going to be some level of depression there, but there's also something, clinical depression, where you could be a millionaire, best of health, have everything in the world that the world tells you is what we should have,
mm-hmm.
and you're still, we see people like that committing suicide on a very regular basis.
Well, you know, what is confusing for some people about clinical depression is not as complicated as you might think. Generally, that's just depression that's at a level that requires treatment or intervention, and depression itself stems from a chemical imbalance. It's aggravated by the stress of day-to-day living, but sometimes you have people that appear to be physically healthy, appear to be emotionally healthy, and they have symptoms of depression, and that typically would be because of the chemical imbalance that creates those depressive symptoms, and that could strike anybody. It doesn't matter what strata you are from, whether you're rich or poor, it doesn't matter race, color, creed. Depression is not very selective. It could happen to anyone. So you have people that sometimes have life circumstances, like someone who's wealthy. You might say, well, what's that person have to worry about? They've got all the money they need. Well, that does not necessarily bring happiness, but that person could very well have a propensity for depression that might have some genetic component. It might be that person has a chemical imbalance that, you know, contributes to that depression. And even if they don't have stressors in their life that are overwhelming, they still could have symptoms of depression.
You know, I think the saying is money can't buy happiness. It only rents it for a while, right? Well, you talked about the symptoms of depression. What are some of the symptoms? By the way, we're talking with Bo Walker, Clinical Director of Partnerships Counseling Center, heading into the holidays, focusing specifically on depression. We'll get into some other issues that you guys deal with, but I think depression is a really big one this time of the year. 702-9111, if you want to get online with any questions for Bo Walker, we could certainly field that as well. What are some of the things that people need to look out for? The difference between a bad mood and depression. How would you define, what's a red flag that somebody, maybe a family member, that they can spot, identify as, oh, this is a symptom of depression. This is more than just a bad mood.
Well, some of the symptoms would be obviously a sad or depressed mood, changes in appetite, either loss of appetite or increased appetite, changes in their sleep pattern, either sleeping more or sleeping less. There could be agitation. There could be concentration problems. There could be changes in your affect, the way that you express your emotions. One of the key components of clinical depression is what's called anhedonia, which is a loss of your ability to initiate and to get up and to do things. And that's why sometimes people with clinical depression can isolate and just become totally dysfunctional for weeks or months even. And it's not something that you can just will yourself out of. So the key is, if these symptoms occur every day for several hours and for 2 weeks or more, then that's a pretty good sign that it's more than just a mood problem or a reaction. So it's the severity of these symptoms, the frequency, and if they occur every day for 2 weeks or more, then that's a pretty good sign that it could be clinical depression.
Let's bring in Mindy with InfoSystems Technology. Mindy Brooks, our good friend, and also somebody that has suffered through depression during certain periods of her life. And I noticed, Mindy, that while Bo was talking, Bo Walker with Partnerships Counseling Center, by the way, 702-9111 if anybody wants to call in, but you were nodding your head a lot when he was describing those symptoms
yes.
of depression. Talk a little bit about what you're comfortable talking about with your experience.
Sure. I don't mind sharing because, you know, it happens to people a lot more than people realize. And, you know, I don't want people to be afraid to go out and get help. So I don't mind sharing my story to a degree.
Absolutely.
To certain details. But I have had two periods in my life where I did have what would be considered clinical depression, where I was unable to work. I even had a period of agoraphobia where I didn't want to leave the house, and my ability to get motivated, get up and initiate things was an issue for sure. And really, and medication did help, but the counseling is what I found to be really effective along with the medication. The medication alone didn't do enough for me. And it took me a few counselors as well. I want to put that out there. I don't want people to think you go to one counselor and because you didn't have a great experience, you're done with counseling. Because that's not what the way it is. I went through three or four before I found someone that I really, really felt was effective in dealing with me. And I'm thankful that I was persistent in that because.
So did people tell you just kind of, oh, it's just whatever, you're being dramatic, it's just a bad mood, you'll get over it, whatever. Was that kind of a common thing that people around you were saying?
I did have a few friends and some family that just really didn't get it, didn't understand, and that was their attitude. Just snap out of it. Just come on, I'll take you somewhere. Let's go somewhere. Let's go to the river park. Let's go do something. It's like, no, that's not going to fix it. That's not going to make me happy for any extended period of time. It's probably not even going to make me happy for the minutes we're together, the hour we're together, or whatever.
Describe a period of depression. I mean, describe what you're thinking. You said agoraphobia where you're just sitting in the house. Are you... say you're at the river walk or you're out having what other people would consider a good time. What's going through your mind?
Well, everyone's different, so this is just my story, but I also had anxiety and would have panic attacks associated with that when I would go out in public.
And that's common, by the way, isn't it, to have all of that at once,
Especially when I had isolated myself for a period of time, and then I would try to go to Walmart or try to go to the grocery store, and I couldn't get past the produce section because I was having a panic attack. And I would time it to go at 2 in the morning or, you know, sometime where I didn't think I'd run into people I knew, there would be less crowds, things like that. And I avoided the store as long as I could. The only place I left to go to on a regular basis was I had a child at the time. Well, I still have a child, but had a child in daycare at the time, and the daycare was the only place that I could motivate myself enough to get to take my son to.
You're doing it for your child.
Yeah, because I knew, you know, he's happy there, and he's, you know.
So, I'll tell you, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, and I'll give you a minute to think about this, but I'd like to know what in counseling, was there one or two or three pivotal things that you discovered in counseling that helped you get through that? And then we'll bring Bo Walker back in and talk about some of the most effective things that counseling can do to help treat periods of depression going into the holidays, taking your phone calls at 702-9111. Free advice. I've got great people here that can help you out. You, a family member, a loved one going through depression heading into the holiday seasons. I'm telling you, the best is here. Bo Walker, he's the clinical director of Partnerships Counseling Center. This special hour of Your Life with Partnership brought to you by my friends at InfoSystems Technology on News Talk 95.3. You're live on WPLZ.
They call me Mellow Yellow, quite rightly. They call me Mellow Yellow. I'm just a mad dog.
6:50, the show, Your Life. David Carnes with you, and boy, what a great hour we've had. A lot of information heading into the holidays, and I know Thanksgiving is tomorrow, and typically I guess you'd focus on a big Thanksgiving, and Tara, if you'd like, you can punch up the turkey sound just to... just a little bit of levity, but we love the turkey sound. We were playing it all through the 4 to 6 show, but we're focusing on depression. Partnerships Counseling Center, Bo Walker, the clinical director. How can you not? Okay, Bo, that is the cure for depression. Right there, that is the cure for depression. You play that to anybody, and they will walk out of your, they will dance out of your office. That's the deal right there. Just kind of cheered us all up. All right, 6:50, and Bo Walker is the clinical director with Partnerships Counseling Center. We also have Mindy Brooks in studio, and she is with InfoSystems Technology, who thankfully is sponsoring this hour of Your Life, as they do every week. And it's the reason that I am such a fan of InfoSystems. It's not because I'm a techie. I certainly am not. But I love businesses, local companies that give back to the community. And InfoSystems does that in so many ways. One way is they take this hour, they sponsor it, they donate it to local nonprofits in the community and folks that are just doing good work to promote the community, and Partnership does all of that. So, Bo Walker, we are thrilled to have you. Mindy, thrilled to have you as well. And Mindy, not only with InfoSystems, but also as somebody who has, in her past, had bouts dealing with depression. And you did a great job of outlining that. And, Bo, you were saying, yeah, everything that you're describing, pretty typical of anxiety and depression.
Right, and as I was saying during the break, is that sometimes people have both an anxiety disorder and a depressive disorder. And although anxiety is a symptom of depression, what she was describing with the isolation and the agoraphobia, the panic attacks, that's more of an acute anxiety disorder. But the two can be concurrent, and sometimes that can be very frustrating to people because the key there is finding the right medication. I think it's important what she said is that it has to be, you have a better chance if it's a combination of medication and counseling, because the medication can only treat the symptoms. The counseling helps you to understand some of the dynamics that are going on that can contribute to the depression, that can aggravate it, but it also can teach you coping skills and to help you to know different ways. So the combination of anxiety, of the medication and the counseling helps. And I think the other key thing is that it really, I encourage people that if you get over the ambivalence about going for counseling, if your first experience is not what you expect, don't give up, because it's very important to find the right match and the relationship that a person's ability to connect with you is very important. Mm. And sometimes people get someone who might be very skilled, they have all kind of credentials and training, but their personality might not be a good match for that individual. Or there might be something about that counselor that brings out some type of a memory or reaction in that person that doesn't allow them to feel like they can open up and really trust that person. So it's very important to have a good match. And the type of intervention that's used is important. A very common intervention, for example, with people with depression is there are several components of what basically is known as a cognitive behavioral approach. Well, that works for some people if they are more intellectual or thinkers. Some people that aren't thinkers, that might not work as well. And so you have to, as a counselor, you have to know what fits with that individual and that it's not a one-size-fits-all. Some counselors have their preference and everybody gets the same meal. So if you really want to be effective, you have to be able to look at what works best for that individual. And sometimes it might take a combination of approaches, but the relationship is very key to being able to help that person.
Talking with Bo Walker, the Clinical Director of Partnerships Counseling Center, talking depression as we head through the holiday season, and your phone calls at 702-9111. Free advice. I encourage you to call and get some more information on this. Mindy, you were saying that the counseling was a big deal with you. You had medication and counseling. And just kind of piggyback off of what Bo was saying, what was most effective for you?
Well, there go with that. The medication is important, and the right dosage of medication, mm-hmm. right combination, the right dosage, because if you have multiple symptoms, you're trying to treat multiple things. But the counseling I found when I was able to add that in a real effective way, I saw an improvement much quicker, I felt like. I noticed a change faster in my mood, in my thoughts. And I think when I found the counselor that I went to for so long, we just clicked. It's one of those things. Maybe he tailored his approach to me. You know, he got to know me and tailored his approach in a way that was effective. But I responded to his input and feedback. I really didn't want someone that just listened to me and then I felt like sort of regurgitated back what I just told them, mm-hmm. like a friend would, yeah. you know, trying to encourage me. I felt like I could get that out of a friend or a family member. But I was able with him, for whatever reason, it clicked with my personality. And he was, I guess, more involved and more actively aware of my situation versus others. And I felt that it was personally tailored to me. And when he was talking to me, he was talking to me and no one else. He didn't say these same things to other people because this was specific to my situation.
And it almost sounds like with this tailored, specific kind of coming up with an each individual approach, it sounds like when, in my head at least, I'm thinking of you have the medication, which is kind of the immediate, let's get you okay for now so mm-hmm. that you can get into counseling and we can start addressing some of the triggers, some of the causes, and some of the things that are mm-hmm. triggering your depression. It sounds like it's something that can't necessarily be cured as much as handled. And the counseling gives you tools to cope with and handle it. Right. Am I reading it right?
The medication treats the symptoms and stabilizes the symptoms, because one of the symptoms of depression is difficulty concentrating, difficulty expressing yourself. If a person is experiencing those symptoms, then counseling may be frustrating to them at that point until the medication stabilizes the symptoms. And as I listened to her description of that experience, one, it was very important to find someone that was a good match for what you needed, but it also could have been an accumulation of you got some benefit from each of those, you know, episodes, the medication, and until you find the right person, excuse me, so it's very important to understand that the medication primarily treats the symptoms and helps you to manage things better. It doesn't cure it, but it really helps to manage the symptoms.
And let me bring you both in on this one. First of all, Mindy, are you still on any medication, if you feel comfortable answering that? And
I'm on all kinds of medication.
Are you on drugs, Mindy? Is it the goal to get the patient off of the medication so that they can just use the coping skills and not have to rely on medication?
Well, I think that it's very important for whoever is prescribing the medication to be mindful of prescribing what's needed when it's needed. Sometimes people have more of a maintenance. They just put you on and leave you on it. So I think it's important for you to take the time to know what that person's needs are and to determine if they need it on an ongoing basis.
Sometimes it's ongoing, sometimes not.
Right.
Mindy?
Well, I personally do have a maintenance drug that I take. I don't take as much of the dosage, or it's even a different medication from way back 7-8 years ago. But I do take a maintenance drug. I don't take as much medication or as high a dosage. And I also, the frequency of my counseling, I was able to cut back on as well.
All right. Thank you guys so much. And I would say, by the way, if you ever see Mindy, she is one of the happiest, most cheery, always has a smile on her face people that you'll ever meet. So I want to encourage you, if somebody is telling you that they're dealing with depression, don't tell them to get over it. Try to understand, try to be there for them, and try to, you know, steer them towards some counseling. And I would suggest Bo Walker, Clinical Director of Partnerships Counseling Center. They do it so right there. I want to thank Bo Walker for coming in. Mindy Brooks, always a pleasure. And thank you so much to InfoSystems Technology for sponsoring this hour. It's News Talk. And Tara V also. She's best producer in the world. News Talk 95.3. I'm David Carnes. Happy Thanksgiving. We'll take a break tomorrow and be back with you on Friday.
They call me mellow yellow.